Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and true to the essence of this wonderful autumn feel for spooks and ghosts, by golly, we're going to give it to you this afternoon. It's absolutely wonderful. We're going to be talking with Brian W. Alaspa. He has written a book called Ghosts of St. Louis, The Limp Mansion, and Other Eerie Tales. This is the kind of book you want to have around for Halloween. If nothing else, you can tell all these wonderful, spooky, horrendous, tragic stories and have everybody peeked, and they may not want to go to bed with the lights off. They want to keep them on all night long. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I'll tell you what. Your book was mesmerizing in many ways because you have such interesting history to share, American history, that I doubt that very many of my listeners have a clue about. And I want them to know about you. You're in your 30s,
right,
and you love to write. You love to write. And your first story was done in the third grade. You wrote it on your mother's typewriter. You said it was awful.
Yes, it was.
It was a horrible piece of composition. Well, we don't expect much of you in the third grade. And you obviously have done a lot better. You've done some novels and some other things. But you decided to get into the ghosts of St. Louis.
Right.
Now, you have to tell me how you shifted from doing novels, and then there was a murder mystery. What was it that got you involved with a bunch of spooks?
Well, you know, my tendency has always been towards, you know, fascination with the supernatural and things of that nature. I mean, or sort of the unexplained phenomena. I remember writing a paper in high school about UFOs, for example, and things of that nature. So I've always sort of tended to go that way. And in my life, my brother, for example, has always insisted that the house that we both grew up in was haunted. And, you know, it was always sort of intriguing between him telling stories of things he'd seen and my sort of wondering if he was either making them up or frustration over the fact that I never actually saw anything. So it's always been a fascination with me. And, you know, while living in St. Louis, I became associated with some people who, you know, actually have a, sort of a morning radio show, and they used to do an annual Halloween broadcast from a haunted location, and they said that they were surprised at how many haunted locations there were in St. Louis, and actually had made the statement more than once. I heard them say, you know, on the air that they felt that St. Louis is one of the most haunted cities perhaps in the entire world. And so when things sort of aligned just properly for me, I was looking for a writing project, and Schiffer Publications was looking for some people to write about ghosts in specifically in various cities, and I happened to say, well, you know, I happen to know there's quite a few haunted houses and haunted stories in St. Louis, and they said, well, great, we'd love for you to write about it. And it was just quite really that simple. I'd been sort of collecting all of these haunted house stories for years, and lo and behold, you know, wondering what I was going to do with them, maybe turn them into fiction, maybe, you know, somewhere down the road. Lo and behold, this sort of project came my way, and I said, well, this is the perfect opportunity to write here. So it just came about that way, and went from there.
Now, in 1980, November of 1980, Life magazine declared the Limp Mansion.
Yes.
Is that Limp or Lemp?
It's LEMP, LEMP.
LEMP. I apologize for the mispronunciation.
Okay.
It declared it one of the most haunted places in America. Now, today, if someone goes to visit this, they'll find that there's a B&B there, and there's food, all kinds of delicious things happening, and they even will take you on a tour, and we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Sure.
But what I found so interesting about this is that you talk about St. Louis as a city.
Right.
And you talk about these limestone caves and
right.
tunnels that are underneath.
Mm-hmm.
And who would know unless you had a chance to go there? And
right.
there's an association with the Limp Mansion. So
mm-hmm.
let's start talking about what makes the city of St. Louis so special.
Well, you know, it just on a historical level, it's such I think an important city just historically. You know, at one point St. Louis was, you know, it's called sort of in passing the gateway to the West, but it really and truly was a gateway city. And at one point it was very much a boom town. It was about as far west as you could get in this country, and then the rest of the country was, you know, for all intents and purposes, wilderness. So a lot of very interesting people moved there, particularly at the time when Johann Lemp first came to St. Louis from Germany.
And this was in the 1800s. Excuse
yes,
me for interrupting
yes,
you.
Sure, no problem.
Yes.
That was exactly about the time, and, you know, he was one of many immigrants from Germany who were coming into a lot of parts in the Midwest, and in particular in St. Louis. And St. Louis is just an interesting place when you start to get into the history, because even before, you know, European immigrants were there, not far from St. Louis is an area known as Cahokia, and Cahokia is in Illinois, and it was a fairly large Native American city that sort of just became abandoned at some point. So people have been living in that area for a very long time, and going back before there was a city of St. Louis, and back before the city of St. Louis was even, you know, an idea in somebody's head. So really it's kind of fascinating that people seem to be drawn to that area and have been going back a long, long time. And, you know, it is interesting how much of the city is set on that limestone and the very strange properties that some people have talked about that limestone has. You know, it has the ability to, you know, in the caves to keep the temperature very cold, which turned out to be important for Johann Lemp, who started a brewery, because the kind of beer he wanted to brew needed it to be cold. And there are some other properties that some people say lend itself more to stories of the supernatural because of some possibility of it storing energy and things of that nature. So there's a lot of very interesting things that could be happening in a place like St. Louis because of the history, because of the just the land that it's built on. And, you know, it's just, I just found it fascinating. I mean, it's just a fascinating place because you can still go there and find buildings that have been there forever, and the architecture alone is just fascinating. So I kind of have a fondness for the whole town in my heart. So I've born and raised in Chicago, but spent quite a few years in St. Louis and still get back there as often as I can.
Well, it's obvious that it has such a special place in your heart. Now,
right.
for those of you who are listening, I'm talking with Brian W. Alaspa, Ghosts mm-hmm. of St. Louis. Now, let's talk about Johann Lemp.
Right.
This is a name that, unless somebody were back in that area or were doing historical research, wouldn't even have
sure.
a clue about this man.
Right.
Yet, Anheuser-Busch, we're all familiar with that, Busch
mm-hmm.
Gardens, you know, all of these wonderful things that have been accomplished by Anheuser-Busch. Let's talk about Lemp, because he has a very significant place in American history and the beginnings of the industry of beer in this
right.
country.
It was actually Johann Lemp who came to this country with a recipe for brewing lager-style beer, which is kind of that golden-colored beer that everyone probably is pretty familiar with and has kind of become synonymous with American-style beer. And he was the first to actually start brewing it in the Midwest, and he was also the first to distribute that kind of beer under the name of Falstaff. That was the brand that he had, the first to distribute it nationwide. And he really set up one of the dominant beer-making families in the country right around the end of the 1800s, beginning of the 1900s. Right up, you know, he came over here and he just wanted to set up a dry goods store, and he sold, you know, products and supplies in the front and in the back. He had his family recipe for making beer and making vinegar and things of that nature, and he discovered that there just seemed to be an unending appetite for his beer. And it quickly outgrew the size of his store, and eventually he gave up the dry goods store and just focused on brewing the beer, and discovered that the limestone caves kept the beer cold for the brewing of the lager style beer. And back then, of course, you know, in this part of the country and in the Midwest, you only got European style beers, which were, you know, really dark and heavy. And so people just loved this this new kind of beer that they had never tasted before. And the interesting thing about Johann Lemp is I sort of think of him a little bit as a tragic figure, because when he passed away of natural causes, at a fairly, you know, good old age, he probably thought he had established a dynasty for his family that would live on forever, like Anheuser-Busch and Pabst and the Millers and all those other beer families that you think of, you know, today. But of course, that obviously didn't really happen, as most people, even beer connoisseurs, probably don't even know the name of Lemp. But, you know, Lemp was also... Later Lemps, after Johann, his sons were friends with Anheuser-Busch and helped Anheuser and Busch get their brewery started, were friends with Frederick Pabst, who was up in Milwaukee and started the Pabst Brewing Company and helped him get off the ground. And so some of the modern breweries and beers that are in existence today are actually due to assistance and help from that Lemp family. But most people have never heard of them because of the subsequent tragedies that befell the family later on, that kind of lent into the whole legend that is now intertwined with the mansion itself. So.
Absolutely. Now, one of the points that you bring out, and it was about the beer, and you've mentioned how these limestone caverns were very, very special because they had these very, very low temperatures
right. And
kept everything cool. And you said if without the yeast dying and turning, you know, without that yeast dying...
Mm-hmm.
And then otherwise, if it's in warm temperature, it turns it into a horrific-smelling, undrinkable swill. That's
right,
how you described it.
Right, exactly.
So those cool temperatures, everything has to be very, very carefully controlled. And, of course, if anybody goes on a tour of a brewery today, you have these stainless steel tanks. They're just incredible.
Right.
And everything is absolutely monitored. And that's
right.
the reason. But when you go back to the 1800s, you didn't have that. And you brought out some interesting points of historical information.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was about Missouri being a network of limestone caves that stretches nearly from border to border. And in the Ozarks, there are some caves called the Merrimack Caverns.
Right.
And it was where Jesse James and his gang would hide out. Who had a clue? I've never, for all the stuff I've seen on Jesse James, I never knew he was in those caves.
Yeah, exactly. And you can see them when you're traveling through Missouri. And even traveling into parts of Illinois, you'll see barns and signs that'll say, you know, visit Merrimack Caverns, you know, hideout of Jesse James. And some of them just advertise, you know, the caves are a constant 60 degrees or lower, you know, that it's nice and cool because, you know, it gets so hot sometimes down there in St. Louis and Missouri that even just visiting the caves just for the temperature reasons is a halfway decent, you know, reason to go. So, yeah, so it's interesting.
Now, though Lemp is not Lemp, excuse me, I keep wanting to say Lemp, and it's Lemp.
Sure.
Though Mr. Lemp never did become renowned as he had thought he might or someone might have expected, because when he died, he was worth millions of dollars, which you said in today's market would be billions of dollars, relatively, when you compare dollar to dollar. And he lived to a ripe old age.
Mm-hmm.
He, as you said, died quietly. He had one son, William, but the family became infamous.
Yes.
And when I read the story, I mean, it was astonishing.
Right.
William was a wonderful guy. He really was an interesting person, and then he had two sons. But tell us what happened with William.
Well, William kind of helped take the whole family to even greater heights than his father could, and he had two sons, and one of them, the older one, was William Jr., and then the younger one was Frederick, and Frederick really kind of became his favorite, and he really sort of told, you know, William Jr. at some point that Frederick would be the one who would inherit the family fortune and take over the business, and he sort of trained him and began training Frederick in how to run the company, how to brew beer, filling him in on all the family secrets, right, you know, from almost the earliest age that he could, you know, walk through the factory with him. And William Billy Jr., or Billy, as he was sometimes known, came with as well, but his father pretty much thought that Billy was kind of a wild child, you know, and not disciplined enough to run the business. But the problem was, Frederick sort of threw himself into it to such a degree that at a fairly young age, he became very sick. And unfortunately, he died of, a somewhat mysterious illness, essentially worked himself to death for all intents and purposes. And his father was crushed. And, you know, Frederick was his absolute favorite. And he sort of just kind of lost all interest in his business and in life in general. Right after that, his best friend, Frederick Pabst in Milwaukee, passed away. And this was just another blow to him. He was very close. And so finally, one day, he got very moody. He would sometimes not go into work, and he would spend the day in bed or not get up until very late. And the servants in the mansion just kind of got used to that. And one morning, he finally woke up, went down, had breakfast, but said he was going to go back to bed. He wasn't feeling well, and they said, oh, that's normal. And instead, he went upstairs and pulled out a revolver and shot himself in the head. And what happened was the servants immediately sent for Billy Lemp. Billy came running up the stairs, kicked down the door, and got to his father just as his father was dying, and his father just kind of slipped away in his arms. And that started a whole sort of infamous trend for the Lemps of, mental illness and suicide, which mm-hmm. seemed to run in the family. And that sort of sadly has become the legacy of the Lemp family, has been the mansion with its hauntings and the suicides of the subsequent children of the Lemp family.
Lillian was Billy's wife,
mm-hmm.
and both of them are fascinating characters, especially yes. for the 1800s.
Yes, they are. I almost think that they really were sort of ahead of their time. They would sort of be, I think, in a way, celebrities even today.
Mm-hmm.
They were definitely a flashy couple. Billy was kind of the rich kid. In modern times, you would almost imagine him, being in Beverly Hills or someplace like that with his really fancy cars and doing all of the flashy things, showing up at all the big parties and things of that nature. But he was just doing it back, at the turn of the century time. So it's definitely an interesting character there. And they were quite the toast of the town at the time, that couple. So.
Yes, and they also created the first scandal in the family
yes.
because other than the suicide of, Billy's father, but with the times then, when you look at those relatively, they got a divorce, and
yeah.
it was fast, furious, vicious, everything, and there was a little boy.
Yes.
And there's so much there. I mean, it would make a great movie, a great soap opera. It could go on for years.
I think that is very true. There's something about that Lemp family that really is almost like a real-life soap opera, and that's what I became so fascinated with when I was researching this was, boy, this family has it all. There's scandals, there's backstabbing, there's, suicides, there's, intrigue, there's, it's all right there in that one family, and it's fascinating. Lillian nearly lost custody of her son because a picture surfaced of her smoking, which was just considered completely taboo for a woman of any kind of culture or upbringing at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just fascinating to think of how that happened. But, when I did research on that, I was looking through newspaper archives, and I was finding newspapers from across the country covering every aspect of that divorce trial and custody hearing like you would see today on some, celebrity trials and scandals. It really was just amazing how much attention it got.
Then there's the story about the monkey-faced boy.
Yes.
And you mentioned how when you were reading through all of this historical research, you were going through it, that you would call what went on in the family bipolar.
Yes.
And, of course, that is a term that has replaced in many parts of communication the term manic depression.
Right.
And that seemed to run through the family.
Right.
There was a girl in the family, also was Billy's sister.
Mm-hmm.
That was something, and her story is interesting because my first thought showed that her husband was poisoning her.
Right.
And then, and I know I'm going to have to jump ahead because there's so much. Your book has so much good stuff in it.
There's so much. I know.
It's just so great. Now, you've got to tell us about when you were in the Lemp Mansion itself. Now, here we've given a little bit of an overview of this unique family, a child called the Monkey Face Boy who was locked up in a room. And now we're going to throw in another character. Her name is Betsy.
I met Betsy when I decided, you know, upon reading about this, I knew that there was just no way I was not going to have to go to the Lemp Mansion and spend the night there. And I have some friends in St. Louis who had spent the night there twice already. And we went there on a Monday night when they have their ghost tour walkthrough, and I met Betsy, who is a clairvoyant who does these ghost tours and has a special fondness, as I've grown to have, for the Lemp Mansion and spends so much of her time there. And it just became fascinating walking through there with her and going in each room and hearing her stories about what went on in that mansion, because her stories varied slightly in some details from what was the commonly held belief in all the newspapers. And when I got the chance to ask her about that, after the tour was done, she explained, well, she got the stories directly from Billy Lemp, Charles Lemp, and the Lemp spirits in the house. So she was getting them directly from, you know, Lemps and her communications with spirits and the supernatural. And so there were slight differences between what, you know, was commonly held history and what her stories were. And I found that fascinating. And walking through that house with her was just amazing. And it culminates in a what she calls a dark room session on the top floor of the house in one of the most haunted rooms in the whole house, where the monkey-faced boy had his play area and where he was kept for his entire life. And she shuts out the lights and calls for all the spirits of the house to come visit the room. And people around me, you know, claim that they were seeing all kinds of things and feeling presence and seeing things in front of them. And I know I saw a lot of what appeared to be shadows moving. Betsy was wearing a very bright blouse, and watching her, you could see it almost glowing, you know, in the room. And as I was watching her, it would sort of fade out and come back in, and other people were commenting on it. And at some point, I got the impression that there was a figure standing in front of me, and I thought maybe it was another member of the group, up until the lights went on, and I realized that what was right in front of me was the bed, because that room is now a guest room, and so no one could have possibly been standing in front of me. So if there was something in front of me, it certainly wasn't anyone in the group. And it was definitely the whole session in the room was really just fascinating and one of the most interesting experiences I have ever had, and the closest I've ever come to witnessing or touching anything remotely supernatural. And it's certainly something I'll never forget for the rest of my life, that's for sure. So.
Well, and who knows, you may have a chance to go back in. The Lavender Lady, was that supposed to be Lillian?
Yes. Lillian had a fondness for lavender, the color as well as the smell. And in fact, notorious thing, she even dyed the harnesses for the horses on her carriage lavender, which was like an extravagance at the time. And so the scent and even the color is seen a lot in the mansion at times, because she is supposedly one of the spirits that haunts and sometimes visits the mansion from time to time.
Now, this mansion fell into disarray after the final Lemp, the last of the Lemp family. He opted not to marry, and he himself committed suicide.
Yes, he was the final one. Charles Lemp lived there, and he pretty much lived alone with, well, not entirely alone, there were a couple of servants and his dog, his Doberman Pinscher. And he finally, he kind of got ill and was having a difficult time. He lived to an older age than some of the previous Lemps who killed themselves. And finally, one day, he shot his dog and then shot himself. And he's the only one to have left a note which said, you know, if I am found dead, blame no one but me. None of the other suicides ever left a note or really much of an explanation. They just kind of did it. And there was one other Lemp after that, but he did not live in the mansion. And that was Edwin, And the interesting thing about him is he died of natural causes, but when he died, he instructed his servant, his butler, his whatever you want to call him, to burn a whole bunch of priceless works of art and a whole reams and reams of family archives and papers. And that's one, just another mystery to add to the story of the Lent, is nobody knows what tales were lost forever when that servant carried out his wishes. And Edwin himself was cremated, and then, you know, right alongside him, practically all of these papers and all this history was went up in smoke as well. So who knows what tales of the mansion will probably never be known, because all those papers went up in smoke. So it's an interesting story to think about.
Now, you have enjoyed being the ghost explorer.
Yes.
And October is notorious for being the month for spooks and, you know, all kinds
yes,
of wonderful experiences. And the Lemp Mansion is absolutely a must to put on
yes.
one's agenda. But if you're going to do it,
mm-hmm.
then you have in the back of your book all
right.
kinds of recommendations.
Sure.
And what do you recommend if someone wants to do some ghost hunting or have this experience?
The most important thing, of course, is to be very careful about it. I mentioned, you know, lots of places in and around St. Louis, but some of them, you know, are private residences, or some of them, like there's a place called the McPike Mansion in Alton, Illinois, that are privately owned but extremely sort of run down and rather dangerous. So, of course, you know, most people, when they want to go ghost hunting, pick the creepiest, oldest, creakiest house that they can. And then, of course, you have to be very careful. So never go alone. That would be one of my most key tips, is if you're going to go ghost hunting, bring people with you. Bring at least one person, but if at all possible, bring more than one. Make sure that you have, you know, the right kind of clothing. There's, if you're going to be crawling around in a house that's sort of run down, there's lots of places where things could get snagged. There could be broken glass and things of that nature. You don't want to be showing up in your tank top and shorts and wandering around in an old mansion or an old house without wearing something like that. You could end up badly hurt if you're not careful. Bring plenty of flashlights and things so you can see. Now, if you're going to go look around. Now, I didn't even get into some of the more serious ghost hunter equipment. There are people who will bring, thermal cameras to take pictures of
mm-hmm.
rooms, and there are people who will bring electromagnetic field detectors and bring tape recorders and recording devices to try to collect electronic voice phenomenon and things of that nature. And that is something that I haven't even gotten into yet at this point. But, you know, maybe a next step for me when I write the next book. You never know. So it depends on how far and how detailed you want to get into it. I also recommend people, you know, do some research on it. Of course, my book would be a good source for that as well.
Absolutely.
But there are, of course, places online as well and that offer tips. Some places, here in Illinois, there's a notorious cemetery on the south side of Chicago called Bachelor's Grove. People love to go there, but it's also technically on property patrolled by the Forest Preserve. And anytime around Halloween, they start patrolling there heavily, and they will arrest you and charge you with trespassing. So you kind of have to be real careful. You could end up, in jail or fined if you're not careful, because it could be private property. So definitely be cautious.
Well, as you can tell, Brian just has a whole bunch of stuff to share. And his book, Ghosts of St. Louis, it is wonderful. And believe me, you'll be talking about it. And it's spooky enough, you could read it out loud to people about all the different things that go on there. Makes for wonderful storytelling. But more than that, this is real-life experience that he's had, and we haven't covered all of it. I mean, there's just no way. He's got all kinds of wonderful things. The equipment, if you want to know about what equipment to have and all kinds of things. Bryant, your website is what, if people are interested in doing some ghost busting or finding out more about what you've done?
It is BrianAlaspa.com, and I'm BrianAlasp, like in Peter A. BrianAlaspa.com is my website, and you can go there and find out about that book and all the books that I write. And, I'm it, it's and probably the future books that I will be writing, because I'm contracted to write another book for the same publisher, so there's just more to come. So.
Well, that is absolutely wonderful. Brian, it's been a delight having you as a guest. Brian Alaspa, his website is brianalaspa.com, BrianAlaspa. It's that time of year for spooky experiences. Brian, thanks so much for being with me today.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for letting me talk. I appreciate it.
This is Donna Sebo. We are going to be taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. I am on a business trip, and I'm broadcasting today from Las Vegas, Nevada. And boy, I'm telling you, what a difference in temperatures. I was in the Northwest. It was storming like crazy. We're going to be like at 30 degrees at night, 30, 35, somewhere in there. So winter seems to be moving into the Northwest. But get on a plane, fly to Las Vegas. I'll tell you what, temps go up. It's in the 70s. It's absolutely gorgeously wonderful. But that doesn't make any difference, because if you want to call in and you want to chat with me, with the wonder of technology, we are able to do exactly that. So if you would like to have me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, give me a buzz at 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. If you're calling in from Canada, it's 888-810-8322. That's 888-810-8322. And if you're a first-time listener, I'm so delighted you've joined the family. If you wonder what you need to do when you call in, all I need from you is your first name or your initial. And then after that, I love to know where you're calling from. And then let me do my thing. And you're welcome after I finish to ask me a question about anything that you like. Donna Sebo here again. 877-876-5227 or 888-810-8322. Stress. My goodness. It is something we all have to contend with. And how we deal with the stress makes a difference with our wellness. And I know in my own personal experience that there were times in my life where I got so stressed, I ended up with serious physical problems. Why does this happen? It's the mind-body connection. Your body, if you are heavily stressed, will not be able to take it after a while. It will have to do something to deal with the stress. Well, how about some suggestions about how to handle stress? Lots of times for me, I know getting out of doors, walking, that just does wonders for me. Music is something that I love to use as well. But there are some wonderful alternatives that can really enable you to work with stress. And I know so many of them you're familiar with. We have a caller, so after I finish with the caller, then I'll be sure to let you know about some of these details because I think it's good to be reminded of them. This is Donna Sebo. Welcome to the show. First name or initial. And where are you calling from?
Hi, Donna. My name's Nancy, and I live in Idaho.
Where are you, Nancy, in Idaho?
Well, we're up near Missoula, Montana. My town is only a log post office, so it wouldn't mean anything to anybody.
Oh, I love that. You don't think that places exist like that anymore, but there are. There are many places. Well, Nancy, I'm so delighted that you called in. There is a need for you, Nancy, to really come up to date with technology. The reason being is you are so creative that I'm seeing you putting together not just written material, but also art, pictures. And there's going to be, I think, a business that you're going to be able to develop because of technology, because of the internet, because of the ways that we're able to reach people today. And you are such a soft-hearted person. Many times you withdraw from interaction with others, not because you don't like them, but because you just don't want to be eaten up mentally and emotionally by their needs. And I understand that. But part of what is evolving for you is a way of being able to deal with that so that you don't feel like people's emotional needs are consuming you. You are very astute about people's integrity. You're a very good psychic on a number of levels. You just need to have more confidence in yourself. But I want you, and I think you're evolving in the business arena to a level that you would not have anticipated 3 years ago that you would move towards. But you've got a knack for it. You just need to become more sophisticated with technology, and I just think things are going to take off for you. There is a balance that you must do for yourself, and having quiet time is very important. That really nourishes you. But you also are going to need to learn how to be comfortable within circles of people and not be so, what do I want to say, sympathetic to them. Not empathetic, but sympathetic, where you're absorbing what they're going through. Because needy people just seem, you're like a magnet, and they just go, oh, there's somebody that really feels, boom, they've attached themselves to you. So I understand this, and you're very gracious, and you're very caring. You are going to have to learn how to detach so that you don't absorb. So maybe you might want to just use a simplistic technique. It sounds a little wacky, but it can work. And just see yourself with a bubble around you. And if you think of like a, one of those little bubbles, like that's when the soap bubble mix that the children so often play with, it's very, very thin, but you can hear, you can see, and you can feel, but yet you've got that little bit of insulation there, and you're protected. And you, if you just do that visualization, it won't keep you from interacting with people. It will enable you not to become immersed in their stuff. That's the only way I know how to put it. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, no, it's exactly right. Is it a technology thing? Is that like a class or something? Or is that just an idea that will come up about using technology? I know I need to speed up with the technology, but I wasn't sure whether, you know, there's a class or something I could take.
Oh, yes, there's all kinds of classes. I would just go to the closest college or junior college, if you will. Community college.
Oh, yeah, there's nothing like that here at all. That's why I was really wondering if there was going to be something coming up, because there's...
Well, there's a lot of things online.
Yeah.
But what I would do, I would get in touch with those people, even in the local schools, and say, if you were... go with one of the counselors and say, if you were to want to educate your students, where would be a good place to go?
Yeah, now are you talking like computer technology mostly? Because I am actually really good at it, so I wondered if it's like a thing about learning to make websites or...
Oh, yes. The fact is, you're going to become very sophisticated. I'm looking at software. I am looking at graphic arts. I think you are just going to really do some spectacular stuff. So, yes, it's all related to computers when I'm talking about technology.
Oh, all right. Great. Thank you so much, Donna. That was just perfect.
Well, Nancy, thank you for calling in.
Yeah, I enjoy your show. Thanks a lot.
You're more than welcome, dear. So glad you called in.
Have a wonderful day.
You too.
Bye.
This is Donna Sebo, and if you'd like to call in and chat with me like Nancy did, try this number, 877-876-5227. That's the toll-free number for U.S. of A, 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-810-8322. That's 888-810-8322. Stress. I was talking about it before Nancy called. Here are a few techniques or points of information that you can use. Well, we've got another caller on the line. Before I go to that caller, let me just mention one. Hypnotherapy. That is deep relaxation, making it easier for you to change specific thoughts, feelings, behaviors, even bodily functions. Meditation is like hypnotherapy. But there are so many ways this can help you. I've got some research from the Harvard University on this, too. So let's go to our caller. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, Donna. I'm Annie from Tucson, Arizona.
Hi, Annie.
Hi.
Well, I know the sun is shining where you are, just like it is here in Las Vegas. Now, let's get down to business quickly. Annie, you have got something that is going to set you back, and it's as if you have been sort of flipped, and I think that it's going to cause you to go off balance. It is going to be due to someone's comments, their response to something that you will say or make a proposal about, and you're going to go, whoa, what do I do with this? I mean, it's like way out of left field. Take a deep breath and just be a good listener. Try to be stoic when you're listening to the person's comments, and then you may want to say, I'm not quite sure I'm understanding everything that you're telling me. Could you repeat it and let me make notes? Now, that's going to throw this other person off, but they need to repeat what they said to you, and you need to write it down. And what I would say is respond to them in such a manner saying, gee, I sure do appreciate your feedback. Don't get agitated. Don't get upset. What you want to do is control your response and instead say to them, may I get back to you on this because you've given me some excellent information. I'd really like to be able to get some more details for you. May I get back to you? Well, this is going to stun them because part of what they are doing is meant to throw you off balance so that you'll just get out of their space. But if you'll say, I will get back to you, you've presented some very interesting thoughts. I need to get back to you on this. And set up another time with them. Then let those emotions out. You know, whether you want to write them out or you just want to go off and talk to a tree, I don't care. But you need to get past the concern and worry stuff and instead deal with the facts. Because what's going to happen is something has been miscommunicated. Miscommunicated. And so you want to be able to come back to this individual saying, I do think there's been some kind of miscommunication and misunderstanding, and if it's on my part, I really apologize. But this is what I wanted to convey to you. And then let them respond. But they are going to be surprised. So what you want to do, in a way, is disarm them because they are trying to manipulate the situation. The rejection is not the issue. The issue is how you will handle this rejection so that you turn around and make it work as an advantage. And I'm looking at this. I think it would happen. I'm getting the number 2, so it's either 2 days or 2 weeks. Or 2 months. It's a very short period of time, though, when this is going to occur. Do you have a question for me?
Yes, I do. I'm wanting to ask if you see the financial picture for the upcoming month as the way that I'm working to have it, and that is in line with how I'm putting the effort into bringing the income in to meet all my financial responsibilities plus.
Well, let me say this. I am looking at financial stability. whatever it is that you are working towards, let's say it was an additional $5,000 a month, I don't know that that's going to fall into place exactly as you anticipated, but I am seeing stability, and I am seeing you being able to handle your financial responsibilities.
Okay. Thank you so much. Your reading is a good reading, and I'm forearmed is definitely forearmed.
Yes. It's always good to have an insight, if you can, to a situation that's a potential. And that gives you ammunition to work with.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And, you know, it just kind of leaves me wondering where I've...
Don't wonder. Just know you're prepared.
Yes. Yes.
Well, you have a wonderful day, dear.
Well, and have a wonderful time in Las Vegas.
Well, it's a lot of work going on here, but I mean, 70-degree temperatures. How can you go wrong? Woo! No, when it's storming back home, this is ideal. That's great. You have a fabulous day, dear.
And you too.
This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break for just a moment, and I'll be back. And we've got more good things to share and more suggestions for you, too. Donna Sebo here, 877-876-5227 or 888-810-8322. We'll be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Now, I know we've got a caller on the line waiting, and I do want to let you know a few things. One, Stephen Joseph is going to be my guest tomorrow. We're going to be talking about leadership agility. Leadership agility. Five levels of mastery for anticipating and initiating change. And this goes for anyone. And I think that you are just going to absolutely enjoy Stephen Joseph immensely. So he's going to be my guest tomorrow. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking about boomers. Yes, Nancy Mills is going to give us the inside track. If you're in business, this is going to be important to you. If you're a boomer yourself, I think this has value. If you're a young person and you've got boomers in the family, hey, this can give you some tools to work with. So that's going to be on Friday. Wonderful lineup. Also, too, I want to let those of you in New York, Alaska, and Southern California to let you know that I am coming into your areas. In a week, I'll be in Southern California. After that, I'm going to be in Alaska. And after that, I'm going to be in New York. Yes, this is one traveling lady here. And if you want to find out more, go to my website. My webpage is going to be filled with the information. And that's DelphiInternational.com. You'll get my scheduling. And if you should want to have some private time with me, I have small windows of time available. Just give me a call and we can book an appointment for you. Let's get to our caller who's been waiting so patiently. Welcome, caller. First name or initial. And where are you calling from?
This is Lyle from Indianapolis, Indiana.
Hi, Lyle.
How are you doing?
Well, I am doing wonderfully. And is it turning colors back in Indiana yet?
It is, but since we're going through, the changes, it's not as uniform as it used to be.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I just think that when you get back towards the east, when fall comes in, that part of the world, that is just gorgeous. I just love the colors. I just love to see the way nature does her recostuming, if you will,
yeah,
of how she presents herself. It's really nice. Well, Lyle, let's get down to business with you. And the first thing that is coming into my mind is a conversation that you're having with someone. It's relative to work. I don't think you are talking to this person about going to work for them. It's just like an easygoing conversation back and forth. Whoever this individual is, they themselves have gone through what I will call a learning curve that has enabled them to see how they're going to be able to shift into a new working environment and be very comfortable with this new working environment. They're expressing some information to you, and there is a block that you feel is in front of you relative to your expanding and growing up and promoting into a whole new positioning for yourself that's going to improve your economic status, your obvious status as far as in the hierarchy of positioning, etc. And there's a frustration, but if you will listen carefully, your friend will have some suggestions. It may involve going into some specialized areas of learning. Should you choose to explore this, I think you're going to find one venue for learning that is really going to appeal to you. And it's going to appeal to you so much that you are going to want to really save up the dollars so that you can take this specialized training. It is going to enable you to make a shift in locale, but also to be able to make a shift in job. And you're going to feel very good about what you accomplish. Now, you're highly intuitive, and sometimes when you get information, you want to turn it off because you feel as if it's negative. I don't want you to turn it off, Lyle. I want you to listen and be aware of what you're perceiving, because that is giving you an awareness of something that's a potential. If you turn off your intuition, then you are negating something that's naturally given to you for you to be attentive and alert to your own well-being as well as maybe those that you love. So be aware. This high level of sensitivity you have can serve you very, very well. Don't be afraid of it. Do you have a quick question for me?
Yeah, well, actually, I was going to call in with a validation. I had called you about a meeting that I had just had on October 2nd, and you were right about that. And actually, it was easy because, like, I had done all the research, and I just concentrated on, talking from my heart and giving the information that I had in front of me to relay to the other gentleman. And from my perspective, it went well, but I still have to wait a couple of months to find out how things are going to end up.
Mm-hmm.
And what I need to do from there. But I was just wanting to call and say you were right.
Well, how gracious of you. Now, I'm going to say something. Please don't be offended. I don't remember a word of anything I told you.
It was, you were telling me to basically talk from my heart and just to present the information to him and have confidence in basically what I did. That was the short of it.
Okay. Well, congratulations. I'm glad that helped you. Let me just give one other point of information that's coming through to me because I know we're almost out of time here. Be aware that this individual was impressed with you. Don't just stop with this individual. Continue to do what you need to do to add to your repertoire of experience and skill. Keep moving on.
Okay, I will. And thank you very much.
You are very welcome. You have a fabulous evening now.
You too.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo, and I'm so delighted that I've been able to chat with so many of you today. I do want to remind you, tomorrow Stephen Joseph is going to be my guest. We're going to be talking about leadership ability, which is, it's so important for all of us. We're all leaders in our own way. It's how we want our lives to go. First, if we lead ourselves properly, then we're going to be able to be an example for others, and that leadership positioning is automatically given to us because people are saying, I want more of what you have. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Don't get spooked by what you can't see, by what you don't know. I know this is a month of spooks, and we're going to have a great time talking to various people in various situations about various situations during this month, but keep in mind that you're the person that has the power over your mind, your emotions, and your feelings. Take charge. You're the boss. Donna Sebo Hoyer in Las Vegas. I'll be talking with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.